Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, alongside the best baby blues in all of San Francisco. Thank Tim, you, I just gave you a promotion just for this week. It's a trial promotion.
Okay. Okay. I'll take it.
So it's, you know, when you get a job, we forgot to tell Mike this, but for the first 6 to 9 to 12 months you get the job, you're on a trial basis. And if you don't knock it out of the park every single time and return my text at night when I send you all of those hilarious Instagram reels, every Instagram reel I send, I'm like, this is the funniest thing ever. I send them to Tim. Tim just sends back the eye roll emoji. Hello, old man. Where's your walker? Anyway, you're on that trial basis with us right now. Tim,
appreciate you are
the best blue eyes ever. Of course.
Thank you.
It's Christmas in November. Joining us as well, Miss Joey Noel. Joey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad that we're talking about the random things that Nick sends you at night, because I laughed really hard at a message I got from Nick over the weekend. It was just something on the lines of, what if we got a pet raccoon for the studio and didn't tell anyone? And I just responded with, only if we keep it at Tim's desk.
Only if we keep it at Tim's desk.
So
we,
yep, in for that. Yep.
I know. I know you would be, Nick, Kevin. The thing is, I try him out with Joey first to see how hard it is, because you go too hard, Kevin. That's the problem. Kevin will be hanging
around. I like this conversation. Kevin, go for it. You had something to say?
I was just going to add, like, Nick, do I ever wake you up when I send you the random 3 a.m. like,
no,
message?
You don't. I have okay, my, good, I, good, put my, good. I put my, phone on like silent after like 10 o'clock usually, so I can sleep there. If it's not, because here's the thing, you send them to me, but there's another darker force out there. There's another disturbance in the forest out there. And I'll give anyone the rest of this Diet Coke if you can guess who texts me 50 times in the night.
Peg Miller.
No.
Your brother.
Greg doesn't.
Your brother.
Matt Scarpino was correct.
Good answer, Kev. Good answer.
Actually, so I don't know if it's the night or if it's technically the morning, but my brother gets up so freaking early for the jobs that he has to do. He'll be like, dude, check this out. And then it'll be he's a barrage texter. Do you guys have anyone like this in your life?
I'm that.
Are you that, Joe?
100%.
I feel like Joey and I are that to each other.
I'm going to introduce Mike real quick. Mike, the czar of NAR, Mike Howard, joining us right now. Still Mike. Here, I want to hear your opinion on this, Mike, because I don't like, I got to be honest, we have to stop the barrage testers. What was that?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, cool.
Why don't you tell
Alexa over there to back it off, okay? Daddy's talking.
Back off.
One more guess. You didn't
the barrage text, I already introduced Mike. He's fine. No. Mm-hmm. The barrage texting needs to stop, ladies and gentlemen. We invented the paragraph for a reason, okay? You don't. I understand the sentiments there, and then you want me to do a pause. It's like a screenplay where it's like a beat, take a pause, and then you get to the next thing. Dramatic purposes, I get it. But when you blow up my phone, it's like 5, 6, 7, 8 texts. Mm-hmm. It makes me just want to delete your phone number and block you.
Wow. Would you prefer just a big block of text then?
Mike, anything you want to do is
great.
You
get two options. Okay, I mean, let's everybody really quick. So for my guest entrance really fast, Nick sends me awesome messages all the time with great Instagram reels, fun TikToks. My favorite lately, though, a lot of people know Nick Scarpino dipping his toe back into the gaming world. And what he likes is really bad and fun, awful gamer tag. So I'll get a message from Nick, like, I was just playing Halo last night. You wouldn't believe Stinky Duty 69. This was a great name. And we have some of the best text messages about those. Oh, my God. Those.
Anytime I see just the – I mean, listen, kids. Don't be this person. Don't be the person that puts stinky, whatever. Don't do it, because there's going to be some asshole like me that's going to screen grab it, send it to his friend, and you don't know if that thing's going to come back to haunt you when you're trying to get a job like later down the line, okay?
So but keep would it that clean. Prevent you from hiring someone, or would that be like a point in the
well,
pro column?
We know, Joey, we run a fucking carnival here. That nothing, for Christ's sake. I mean, this is... We're thinking about having raccoons in the office, okay? Nothing precludes you from working it kind of funny.
I just
for sure.
need to say yes, by the way. About the
for the raccoons?
I got a raccoon guy.
Can we keep him in a cage?
No, keep him in Tim's bottom drawer. Tim's bottom drawer.
That he can like reach his hands through
you're
and like
thinking
touch
too
him,
small.
You know?
Nick, you're thinking New above idea. The offices right. can be the raccoon playroom.
Listen, Kevin, I love that. Okay. Or instead of them being in the cage, we're in the cage.
And they're outside.
I hate how you have these things where you're like, if I just get to it, it's going to hit so hard.
Cage,
and it never does. It's so sad.
You have to open the door. Here's the thing. The way the office is laid out, and spoilers, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about it a little bit. We're having an open floor plan because we want to keep the creativity flowing. We got Mike coming down. We're like, Mike's creative. We got to keep this going. We can't put creativity in a box.
Can't put Mike in a box.
Exactly.
But maybe
in a
cage.
Box.
Sounds like we can put him in a cage.
Here's what I'm saying. Plexiglass. Oh. Silence of the Lambs cage.
Okay.
But everywhere outside of that is what we call the raccoon zone. So when you walk through the front door, you got 10,
like
15
a safe
feet.
Room.
Yeah. You got 10, 15 feet. You got to go. You got to cross to get to the safe room, or else a raccoon
like a
might come
moat
through the fucking
raccoon.
Rafters. Yeah.
I like it.
See what
I
I'm
like
saying?
It.
And that would help me with the Diet Coke addiction.
Nick, if I may, is it okay if I throw a topic out there that I'd like to have as a conversation piece? This is a question I have in my head. I got a lot of anxiety about it today.
I wish you would, Kevin.
Okay. So if you have someone that's relatively close to you and you're in a situation where you're like, they're going to get a ticket, is it okay to wake them up?
Yeah.
Of course. That's the 100%. Right thing.
They're
going to
get a ticket.
Like a
what kind of
okay, let's just not do this. Whoa. I forgot to move
drunk
my car for
public.
Oh, but Joey, okay. I was so scared. I was like, because I texted you, I called you, and I was like, I don't know what to do.
But I sleep. I have my phone off, and then you just knocked on my door, and you're like, "It's streets." That was totally fine. I haven't even seen you to even. No, that was totally. That was great.
I've been like anxious about it the whole time, where I was like,
"Oh no,
I'm
I just
scared
haven't seen you to say thank you."
I think that's really nice of you to do. But as long as Joey doesn't set the expectation that you are now the meter patrol for her.
Oh,
right. Because this is the
I just totally forgot what day it was.
I did it like if I do it once.
There's
I
like
save
a team thing
once.
That we do for that spot.
Okay.
It's true.
You guys just rotate on the spot. Street streamer come back.
Not this week.
I know. It's a whole thing. Right. There's a spot right in front of the house that we've been trying to just snag for me. So if Kevin sees it's open, he'll park his car and then I'll move mine there.
Yeah, can I? Cool.
But then somebody's there now.
Street politics.
Yeah.
Tim, can I suggest something? I know you'll appreciate this.
I'd love it.
You go on Amazon, you get a fake fire hydrant, you paint that side of the curb red, and that way you can park there forever.
That's illegal.
If you paint the fire hydrant like a blue color, nobody understands that that's going to be non-operational.
Now here's the thing, Kev.
But isn't blue handicap?
What if one of don't do blue. That's bad.
Yellow,
yeah, red, bad. Red. I'm
yellow is a loading.
I think white. Yo, white and yellow are the same.
No, guys, fuck it. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna choose one of us that does not frequently go to Kevin's house because that is a key element here. So, I guess all of us to some extent go enough. Let's get like a.
Like an Andy.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to get Andy anymore. To go there.
He's like
to Kevin's house. Would not see you, Kevin, not see any of us.
Uh-huh.
And paint the curb. I'm going to say purple.
Mm-hmm.
Purple.
A color that people don't know how to deal with.
I don't know how to deal with that.
People are going to drive by. They're going to see it. They're like, I'm not going to park there. I don't know what purple means. I'm not going to risk it. They're just not going to park there. And then you're not going to get in trouble because you're not trying to imply anything. You just like the color purple and you didn't do it. Color purple, great movie.
It is a great movie, first off. Second off, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the Upper Hate.
I would like to say orange. I feel like orange is a more...
Yeah, it's got a little bit
confusing.
It's close to red, though.
Yeah. Kind of yellow, kind of red, kind of in that blue. It's got to be something alarming where you're like,
orange
I can't
good.
Do that, you know?
Color orange, so, not as good of a movie.
No. You tried it. It was about
Clockwork Orange,
farming.
Real cray.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny Podcast where each and every week we gather around to talk about curbs and what color they should be so you can park there. And it's a weekly topic now from now on. We also give each other fun nicknames and hash out all sorts of fun stuff. If you want to support this, go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny and throw us a few bucks and you get to write into the show and be a part of our Patreon-only post show that we're going to do right after this. Shout out to our Patreon producers, Pranksky and Delaney Twinning. You are both awesome. And today we're brought to you by MeUndies, Uncommon Goods, and Stamps.com, but we'll talk about that just a little bit later. I like this idea, guys. I've always wanted to do this, by the way. Ever since I started parking in Knob Hill, where it's like the worst parking ever, I'm like, what if I had like a thing you could unfold and snap down to the curb? That would be, you know what I mean? Like that would be like your mobile. I guess that wouldn't work though. I want to paint the curb is what I'm trying to say.
You want reserve parking.
Yeah. I want the reserve parking for Nick. Cause it's always so cool when you watch like movies about like Wolf of Wall Street and stuff where people like steal stuff and shit like that. They always have a parking spot.
Lisa Vanderpump. Right in front of Stir.
Oh,
and LA parking's
thank
hard.
You, Joey. Doing my job this week.
No problem. Parking is just the bane of my existence because I don't use my car enough to really have one, but it's convenient too. And if my family didn't live close enough for me to drive to, I wouldn't need a car. But because they do,
that's
I just keep it.
See, I love having a car. It's tough. I'm a Southern California boy. I love driving my car. I like to get in my car. Lately, Tim, thank you for asking. I put on a little. I go to Spotify. I put on the smooth jazz sounds of autumn.
All right, let me take the story from here. Nick and I have started this fun little tradition recently, without even talking about it as a tradition, where he'll come to my house. Since currently we have no official studio address, because we're in between places at the moment. All the mail gets sent to my place, so Nick will come by every once in a while to whenever there's something important. I'll text and be like, "Hey, this looks important." I don't know if it is important, but Nick will come by. He'll scoop me up. We go grab lunch, catch up. It's a great old time. It's so nice just seeing people. You know what I mean? But the funniest thing is what Nick is playing in his car. And I don't want to put any pressure on you here, Nick. But when we first started this, like, I mean, a year ago, probably, every few weeks, we'll grab lunch. And that is when you first were playing and you were so insecure about it. But the Feel In Myself playlist on Spotify. Which is essentially, it's a great fucking playlist. It's all the hottest female rappers of now doing their damn thing, right? A lot of Cardi, a lot of what would be Nicki if she was putting out new music, like the Saweetie, all of that type of stuff, okay? And I just love that you were listening to it, but you were so insecure about it until I was like, dude, no, I love this shit. And you were like, okay, cool. And you were so in. But recently, every time I get in your car, it is the question of what is Nick going to be listening to? Because 2 weeks ago, it was Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Yes, he was ready for the musical.
I was getting hyped for that shit, dude. Hyped.
That is a particular energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's great. Now, what's funny is you cut 5 minutes before I picked him up. And I'm like, every time I look at you, I don't understand. I'm just screaming in my car as I'm driving down. Whatever, was it Sunset? Not Sunset. What's that street? It doesn't matter. I'm driving down like 19th and I'm just singing, and people in San Francisco, you think people are weird in San Francisco until you really see me singing Jesus Christ Superstar in my car. And then it's like, that motherfucker needs to get some shit together.
I appreciate it. And what was funny though, and I didn't talk to you about this, Nick, but the next time I saw you, you're playing this jazz music. And I was like, Nick is dialing back. I don't know what he's trying to prove right now, but he goes from fucking Saweetie to the fucking Jesus Christ Superstar. Now he's playing this jazz, and I'm just like, all right.
Like, here's the thing.
What are you trying to prove, Nick?
I'm not trying to prove anything. It's all about mood. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, summer, spring, go fuck yourself. That's what I'll say. I'll say it.
Oh,
get the hell out of here, summer. And spring.
Wow.
Because
this conversation.
Fall is my favorite time of the year. Fall, it's winter time of the year. Everything gets cozier. It gets darker earlier. Oh. I don't love the darkness earlier, but I love, like, today I walked out of my house, there was that little bit of cold in the air. You know?
Crispness.
Christmas makes you think of like pumpkin pie. It makes you think of like a hearth, a fireplace, you know, eggnog, peppermint, all sorts of things. And I love that. A lot of my happiest memories are from fall. And so when that comes around, sometimes we live a stressful life. I've been a little stressed out lately. I like to put on the smooth jazz and have a cup of coffee and just cruise around town. And it makes me think of fall, and it makes me it makes me think of like just, you know, getting cozy in a warm chair and opening up a book that takes me 2 years to read.
Now, Nick, I totally feel what you're saying, because there is something about jazz music that is awesome. Like, obviously, things like the Cowboy Bebop type jazz, that's different. Like, that shit's just hype as fuck. It's hot. That's all fun. Love it. But just like the normal, like, actual traditional jazz music, it can be kind of calming, but then every once in a while, there's like that chaos. My favorite thing, and this is the most Tim Gettys thing ever about jazz music, is recently there's been a big push into spatial audio for things, which is essentially cool. Dolby Atmos type mixing, where like all the different speakers around you will be playing things differently. Even with headphones, you're getting like 360 audio. For home theaters, recently Apple Music added Dolby Atmos, spatial audio, all that stuff. But for most songs, no matter, even if they're mixed for Atmos, like what the fuck are you going to get from an Ariana Grande song with spatial audio? Yeah. Not much. You know what you're going to get from some fucking jazz? Oh. Fire, dude. I'll be sitting in this chair over here, and I'm just sitting there with my eyes closed, and all of a sudden there's some hi-hats coming from behind me. I hear little horns popping up. They're all over the place. I'm like, yo, Nick, you need to come hang out with me.
I totally will.
We need to go on a jazz odyssey, okay?
I will bring them. I'll bring some warm eggnog, and we'll blanket up, and we'll listen to some jazz.
Let's do it, dude. Me and you.
Real talk, I think the other reason that I like doing this is because it reminds me of sitting in a coffee shop. And I haven't been able to really sit in a coffee shop and just relax. Like, there were multiple times on the weekend where I would just walk to a coffee shop and just kind of hang out for 30 minutes, relax, not talk to anyone, read some news. I don't know. Get, you know, just center your life a little bit. And we haven't been able to have that specifically in San Francisco for a very long time because of COVID. So it's been tough. But recently, my Starbucks next to me reopened for seating in there. So I'm pretty excited about that. I walked in today to get a cold brew. And this is what I wanted to talk to you guys about today. They're worried about me. Should I be worried? Oh,
the progression is finally happening. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Oh, no. It's to the point where they were like, it's 3 o'clock almost. And I'm like, yeah. I got a thing. I got to perk up for a thing that I got to do. I got to do a podcast. And they're like, but you already had a couple of coffees today. I was like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, we're out of iced coffee. All we have is cold brew, and that's like twice the amount of caffeine in normal coffee. I was like, I mean,
even better.
I'm like, you're selling me on this. Like, what possibly the problem? The guy's like, and you're okay drinking coffee right now? Like 3 o'clock in the afternoon? That's okay for you?
For a man of like, your age?
But my first instinct was like, doesn't everyone drink coffee nonstop all day until they go to bed? Like, is this not a thing people do?
No, I do think that all of us take it further than anyone should, and my we God, all normalize sure. We normalize it to each other in a way that is problematic. I will say that I this is a dumb thing for me to say, but I do not drink more than my Trenta iced coffee a day. Like once that's I awesome. Have that, I'm like no more caffeine. Like, I can't great. Do it. I shouldn't do it. Not that I can't. I shouldn't, and I don't.
Yeah, I should not. Yeah, I don't do that.
I don't like that, Tim. Yeah. You know what? I don't like that lifestyle. I think you got to crank that up. Let's get to at least 3 Trentas a day.
The other way.
We got to crank that up. No, I don't like that.
It's
90
fluid ounces, Mike.
Yeah, we got to crank that. We got to crank that up.
I'm so addicted to caffeine at this point that sometimes I'll play games with Mike. And sometimes I'll text him at 10 o'clock at night. 10:30. Like last night, it's 10:30.
Super
late. Mike, what are you doing right now? You want a game? You want to hop on something? And I'll wait. I'll just stare at my phone. And the second he texts me, fucking you, he texts me back, you know it. I go straight to the refrigerator and I pull out the 2-liter of Diet Coke.
He's ready.
And I do it. Half the fun of gaming with Mike is that I get to indulge in what was it Lucy James that called it the dark juice?
I just looked it up. Apparently, 400 milligrams is like what you're supposed to have like
per day.
Supposed. Yeah. Is allowed the, to. Not supposed.
Is that by weight? Because I weigh a lot.
Safe for most healthy adults.
Okay.
That's roughly the amount of caffeine in 4 cups of brewed coffee, 10 cans of cola, or 2 energy shot drinks. So I just looked at my Diet Coke and it's 46 milligrams. And like I drink a lot of Diet Coke, but I know I'm not drinking 10 Diet Cokes a day. So I feel validated in my caffeine consumption. I don't know about the rest of you people.
I don't see the caffeine on this 2-liter right now, so it must be
46 milligrams per 12 fluid ounces.
And there's 6 servings in here.
Yeah.
So six, man. Kevin, what's 6 times 46? Do you have a calculator? Can you do it in your head?
Yeah, hold
200
on.
And
6 times 40 46. Something? Because there's 360 milligrams.
46 is 2076.
No. 276. Fuck, that's awesome. Dude, I'm fine. Fuck these people at Starbucks.
Tim, as a man who drinks just a lot
your
of
Diet Coke. Oh, yeah, it's your Diet Coke intake.
Okay.
If you look up
let's do it. Do it. I'll go through one of these bad boys a day.
You go through one of those a day?
Jesus Christ.
This is a shame. Not free zone, but like, let's try to minimize it, okay?
Oh, no. I need this. This is therapy. This is therapy.
We haven't all worked together. I have been desensitized to the liquid intake of all of you people.
Nick, are you getting venti?
Venti iced coffee. Let's multiply that by 2.
It's not so. It's not the Pike's Place.
No, not that's no. Mm-hmm. That's it's not cold brew. It's just venti iced coffee. It's different all than.
Right,
cold
yeah, I'm looking for iced coffee.
I don't believe it's as. I don't think it's as. Caffeinated as the cold
as
brew.
The
now I say that I do have a cold brew currently in my refrigerator. I'm about to text D to come bring me as soon as I'm done with this.
Mike, what is your caffeine looking like these days?
Joey, so I'm over here on Starbucks.com to just get a quick discount double check on my venti iced chais, and it says that there's 120 milligrams in each one. I drink roughly about guaranteed 3, and then at home I'll probably make my own probably 3 more times. So let's just round it up to like, let's round it up to 80 ounces of iced chai a day. So
no,
120 times 4.
Hold on, Mike, jokes aside, you're seriously getting 3 iced chais a day from Starbucks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Easily.
Now, do you order them all at once, or are you postmating those 3 times a day to yourself?
No, I'm not postmating anymore. I'm earning them now. You got to walk and earn them. But
you got to walk and earn
them. I'm getting 2 in the morning. Before the stream with a banana bread. Then I go get one probably around like right now after my afternoon walk. I'll grab that with a little chocolate croissant right before dinner and have a great time. A little croissant. And then you also have to add, Tim, that I buy about 5 jugs of iced chai down in my fridge and I make them at home. Like, I just looked at my fridge today, Joey, Nick, and Tim. It's Wednesday. I went grocery shopping on Sunday. I had a 2-liter of milk in there. That milk is now gone. That's how much iced chai I made with that.
So much milk.
I bought 3 of these over the weekend on Sunday. Yeah, this is the last one.
I can drink a iced chai, Tim, at like 10 o'clock, still fall asleep by 11 if I wanted to.
That's the thing. I have no trouble sleeping.
Yeah, I got no problem.
The only thing that keeps me up is the anxiety, and I'm sure that caffeine doesn't add to that.
I have no trouble sleeping. Says the man that has the most trouble sleeping I've ever met in my life.
Well, you know, he that's
wakes him up. Why?
That's different. That's
it might have something to do with it.
No, that's you're just a light sleeper. That's different, Nick. Don't let
it might have something to do with the caffeine, though. Maybe I'm just never dipping into deep sleep territory.
Caffeine levels are just maybe.
But before we get into that, I want to calculate this because I want to know who is the undisputed champ of caffeine. Kind of funny. Okay. So Mike,
we're turning this into a positive.
Wait.
I like that.
The only way out is through, Tim. Okay, we know this.
On the way out,
according to the menu on Starbucks.com, venti iced coffee has 235 milligrams of caffeine.
So that's a lot.
Solid. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is not a little bit. Right.
I'm doubling up on that. So 235 times 2 is what? 470?
Yeah.
And then what did we say the 2-liter as the caffeine?
670 something? Is that no?
It was 40. It was. Let's see. 6 times 46. What's 6 times 46?
6 times 46.
Plus 270. 276. So I'm up to 500. I'm 546 milligrams.
So that's over the safe limit,
he's
right?
He's beating me. I dare you to beat me.
No, I'm not.
I'm at
480. I'm at 480.
I'm going to verify the chai. That? I'm going to verify the chai iced
tea. The chai, venti iced chai is from Starbucks, 120 milligrams.
Okay.
I'm giving myself like 4, so I'm at 480 as well.
Okay,
I'm
so you lowered it. So that's what happened. Okay. A minute ago it was 6. Mm-hmm. Now it's 4.
Yeah.
Just so they were clear.
Are you counting the ones that you drank during the day from your fridge?
I'm saying that's another 20-ounce iced chai.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like 3 normal glasses. You know what I mean? Think of like your glassware. I make 3 of those on average.
Those are usually
day.
16 ounces.
Well, okay. Well, maybe, you know, maybe we're at 16 ounces. I was saying maybe they were 8 ounces.
Man, I'll tell you one thing right now. Mike goes off at night. Mike has like he hits this cliff point where he's like caffeine, and then it stops and he goes off that cliff. And I'll know it because we'll be hanging out. I'll be like, Mike, you coming over? What are you doing? Where are you at? And I'll just hear, bro, come on. Like Mike's done.
He's trying so hard, and he doesn't have to. He can stop at that point. I keep telling him, I'm like, Mike, you're too tired. Go to bed.
We ramp each other up, man.
We have a lot of great games to play, and it's just the perfect time to be a gamer right now. There's no need to stop. No need to stop. Also, why stop drinking caffeine, Nick? Like, I can't wait to be down there. We're going to Starbucks all the time.
I'm so excited for banana bread.
We're going to get in those big comfy chairs, Joey. We're going to have a great time.
It's going to be a problem, and I'll tell you that right now.
What's the closest Starbucks to the new studio?
Dude, Joey, let me tell you.
There are many.
And they are multiplying. There are like 2 new ones being built as we speak.
Which one of them like totally is unnecessary? There's already a Starbucks so close.
They're all unnecessary. No, but also, there's none of them close enough. Like, I'm kind of mad.
Yeah, you're 100% right. The problem is,
none of them are walkable. You could walk it, but it's not like a brisk
walk. No, it'd be an uncomfortable walk.
Like, here's the thing. The walk from the old IGN studio, because they're gone from there now, on Townsend. Okay. To the one on King Street, just a little too far.
Yeah.
That was a little too far.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. That was real far.
We did it every day anyways.
We did it twice. Tim, we used to do it twice a day. I did it twice a day. I'm like, Tim, I got shit to do till lunch. Do you want to go to Starbucks and then go to lunch? You're like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, Nick, I have so much to do. And you're like, yeah, but I'm your boss. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's go.
I'm like, I need you to tell me what the kids are doing these days. I'm going to smoke a couple butts.
A couple darts to the lungs. I mean, for me to be happy, Tim, I'm looking for Starbucks and In-N-Out. You know what I mean? Maybe a Krispy Kreme.
You're in a good place, bang, bang, bang.
You know what I mean? If I can get those 3, I'm good.
Plus, there's the Krispy Kreme right there, no, too, no, no. Which is also a Mike staple.
Yep.
I'm Which solid. Creams are good. Yeah. Although I will say, I mean, Kevin probably knows the answer to this, but when we inevitably eventually do move into the new office, I'm going to need whatever the best traditional donut shop is. I need that.
Oh, that's probably Rolling Pins. Yeah. No, that's not true.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, but Kev, there is the one next to Hawaiian Drive-In.
Oh.
It's more of a mom and pop type donut place. It's like one of those like best places you ever had. But
I think the mom and pop places are the best.
Yeah, I was about to say that is going to be, I think, which is really weird because it's so close to my mom's house.
It is like half a block.
It's half a block from my mom's house.
I love that. I want to know that I can go get a little fluffy cake donut with white frosting and some rainbow sprinkles on that. That's my all-time favorite.
Yeah, y'all, it's about to they'll have that. They'll have that.
Perfect. It's about to be a whole new world for us because our last studio, we were surrounded by like a lot of food options. Like we were lucky and like if you're going to get in a car, like you can kind of get wherever you want.
Right.
But where our new studio is, it's in Daly City, baby. Like it is not San Francisco rules.
There's not all these restaurants.
It's the home of chains. And any really chain is. You could possibly want is right there at our grasp, man. It's going to be a very scary game changer that I personally am horrified by.
No, we're going to gain.
Yeah, health-wise, it's not good for us. We're going to
put some LBs on. No, yeah, you talk about my caffeine intake. Wait till you start seeing... Someone's gonna start the trend of bringing donuts in. I'm not gonna look. I'm not.
No, no one's gonna do it.
I don't think so. Because
I'm not pointing any fingers at who on this podcast. It's gonna be Snowbike Mike, but someone's coming with 40 donuts. Fucking Krispy Kremes every day. He's gonna take 20 of them to the face by himself, and I'm gonna take the other 20 to my face.
It's so funny working at different offices and seeing like the different trends because our office like isn't that snacky? Like Tim's not a snacker. Greg Miller's not really a snacker. Like, we would have food at the office that would kind of live there for way longer than you would.
Well, yeah, a lot of that like, food was that weird British shit Gary brought, though.
Well, not but just
like,
that.
A thing of donuts, I don't think would disappear as fast as people
Joe.
Would think.
Joey, I think you're just thinking about the time donuts came and I wasn't eating donuts. And I wasn't eating donuts because that would happen a lot.
Don't, though.
I
feel like you... Talk there a was, big game, but so when it comes down to it, you guys aren't housing four donuts a piece.
Now, okay. So here's how it goes down. I went to take this is a couple years ago, a few years ago, when we were at the old studio, and I was like, I got to take my car into the House of Brakes. This is where I used to get my brakes done. Right, it's over in them. It's and there's literally a donut shop right across the street from them. And this is when I was like,
while you're waiting for your brakes to get done,
I just finished. Like 8 weeks of a low carb diet, you know, the jeans are fitting good. I'm on that one belt loop that makes me like, that's the sexy belt loop. You know, I'm like feeling good about this belt loop. I'm going to bring the office a dozen donuts, which is really a baker's dozen. It's 13 donuts. And all the spoilers, I feel like three or four more on that motherfucker. Me and Kevin did the thing where like, we're just going to cut the donuts so we can have a little bit of it. And we whittled through. So many, and then I took the rest home and I ate the rest at night.
We felt so gross that when the day ended, I was like, Nick, you got to take this away and never bring it back. Never bring it back.
And then I ate the rest of them. The next day, they were stale. And I had that donuts put that sugary feeling on your teeth where your teeth feel like there's, you know.
Oh,
yeah. I get on the top of my palate where it's like, oh, there's like dry old sugar. And it's like, this is horrible. I mean, it must be like what a heroin addict feels like afterwards, you know, after
I imagine
just smacks out of their system where you're just like, this is gross and dirty.
Oh, man. I'll tell you right now. The other day I went to Bob's Donuts and I don't usually like Bob's Donuts. For people that are outside San Francisco, Bob's Donuts is like a historic donut place on Polk Street.
Old donut.
It's open super late and they're famous for having like this giant donut that I think
too big.
If you eat in like a specific time frame, you get a T-shirt or something like that. But I tried one once. We got one for some friends of mine. All got one. I was like, this is disgusting. This is not how donuts are supposed to be. It doesn't cook right. But the other donuts we got, oh my God. Fucking A. I got to stop. I'm packing on my winter weight right now. And it's scaring me. That's why the caffeine's offsetting it.
I take this story of slight addictions and take it in a slightly different direction.
I'd love
direction.
I'm so excited about this.
I have a new old addiction.
Okay.
Ooh, this is fun. A new old addiction from Tim.
And Mike knows what I'm talking about.
Is this kind of is this about brands at all? Is this about some sort of brand of a thing that you like?
Yes.
Because loves losing two games, wrote in and said, what when it comes to brand loyalty, are you diehards or do you you don't care that stuff is stuff? That's a question. And I think the answer is
it's a separate question, I think.
That's separate. Okay.
Yeah. That's a very separate question. I am very, very, very,
we're super
very diehard. Unfortunately diehard brand loyal. Yeah, I wish I wasn't. I wish I wasn't. Did I just today buy an Ethernet adapter that allows my Google ecosystem to work within the Apple ecosystem? Yeah, I did. And that shows a problem because I could have just went the other way and could have been fine. Yeah. But no.
Yeah, I mean, your loyalty is made, Nate, Tim. You already chose the side.
I chose the side. Google it is.
Is it the losing side?
Let me finish this. Wait, let me finish it. Let me finish this question real quick because I think this is very pertinent information to what I'm talking about. He says, this all started at Costco. My coworkers and I were at lunch eating Costco hot dogs. Shout out to Costco hot dogs. And one of my coworkers put ketchup on his hot dog. Then he pulled out a small bottle of French mustard. And we said, why didn't you just get mustard over there at the condiment stand? And he said, and I quote, that's Heinz mustard, not French mustard. There's a difference. And that's the whole debate of brand loyalty right there.
I mean, I respect the hell out of that.
I respect the shit out of that.
We live by that. I mean, literally a couple days ago, I went to, I mean, the infamous story is me and Kevin would literally keep a sriracha in his car. So
still
we could
have
take
it in my car.
Places.
He told me that story, Tim. I was with him, and he did that. And I was like, you can't do that. And he's like, oh, we're showing up to this lady's front door restaurant, and I'm doing it. I was like, that's weird, Kevin. You can't do that. That's
amazing. And now this place that I go to for brunch all the time, Beach Chalet, it got rid of its Tabasco, and now they only have Cholula. I am a Tabasco household. So
Cholula's good, too, though.
Tabasco red is awful.
I insist that me and G bring our Tabasco, and we do every single time. Does she like it? No. But it happens, and she's the one with the bag.
Bottles?
No, we don't. We bring the bottle we have.
Make her whole handbag smell like Tabasco sauce for like a week.
Ziploc
bag? She's welcome.
Guys, I don't.
You're welcome.
You like the actual generic Tabasco? Because I hate that one.
I love it.
Oh, I love it. I can't think of any brands that I'm particularly like addicted to or anything like that. Like, I can't. I only want
those. But here's
the
thing, Nick. Like, you're a phony. I'll say it. I've been to restaurants with you where they've been like, we have Diet Pepsi. And you're like, yeah, whatever.
No. Kevin, that's not how it goes. It goes like this. I'm like, please have Diet Coke. Can I have a Diet Coke? And they always say, what do they say, Tim? Can I have a Coke?
Is Pepsi okay? Pepsi okay?
And I ask you, people out there, good podcast listeners who are rating this podcast right now and sharing it with a friend, is Pepsi okay? Because the answer, in my opinion, is fuck no, Pepsi's not okay. But I'll drink it anyway, Kevin, because we've already established I'm super addicted to caffeine.
No
Tim,
way.
I apologize for interrupting your story. Please continue.
No, it's totally okay. This is a story
that, guess?
Like, yeah, you can.
Is it the Pokemon cards?
About this is very much about Pokemon cards.
Yes. Oh, no.
Of course, I was addicted when I was a young child, and now I'm addicted again as a grown-ass man. Mike has no small part of this, but like I will say, I was able to avoid it a lot longer than I thought I would be able to. Like, as I've gotten older, I don't really like clutter. I don't really like having a lot of shit, right? I like having the right shit. I'm a minimalist is a lifestyle that I try to like... Neon minimalist is my aesthetic, all right? And Pokemon cards, they can take up a lot of space. And I was like, I just can't do all this. My one kind of collection vice is 4K physical media Blu-ray. Love that shit. I want them all. Got to do it. But then I got one of these fucking Pokemon packs. Someone gave it to me and I opened it. And I'm like, God, I feel this thrill that I haven't felt since I was 10 years old. And now I'm out here like, well, I mean, what's one more pack going to do? But then you buy one of these fucking... ETBs, as the kids call them, right, Mike?
That's what they call them. That's what they call them.
What is an ETB?
What does that mean?
It's an elite trainer box.
I don't like when I'm asking the same questions as Nick, for the record. I feel like I hold myself to a higher standard.
Welcome to old age.
And I don't like this.
Now you're old and weird.
Now you're old ass man.
Yo, look, boil this down to as simple as possible. There's booster packs. Each booster pack is a set amount of cards that are divided among common, uncommon, rare. And that rare might be ultra rare, okay? However many packs you get depends on, are you just buying one single booster pack or are you buying these different boxes that come with different levels of packs, like different amounts of packs. ETBs or Elite Trainer boxes are kind of like just the standard. They're $40 retail. They come with 8 to 10 booster packs. They also come with like maybe a promo card from that set, some like dumb bullshit that you need, and a nice pretty little display box to be able to house that set of cards, which is really fun and really, really nice, right? Those are usually like the thing that you kind of want to get at least one of for each set, so you have the box, and then from there, you just want to get whatever is the cheapest way to get as many packs as possible. But of course, I'm getting into this whole thing at a time that is way past the prime of this already being the most popular thing in the world. So here I am, Tim fucking Geddes, living, if I'm being real, my best life. Spending so many of my waking moments going from Target to Target.
Oh my.
Why don't you call me?
You just know I love Target.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Tim, there's a lot of people you're about to offend.
What the fuck?
Elise is going to be so upset that you're doing all these Target runs.
I let you slow me down, guys. I ain't letting you slow me down. We got places to go. We got cards to fucking see. We have dudes to look at me and shake their head like, no, we don't.
Are you asking? Have you not figured out where the cards are?
Well, it changes all the time, Kevin, because they get their shipments and then there's this fucking rush of people. And then these dudes that are working there, they don't want to deal with it.
Are you waiting in line for these drops?
No. I haven't quite got to that point yet.
Yeah, he's getting there.
I'm close. I'm close.
Let's see. He's not going to get there because now Tim's an adult. He's going to make Cool Greg wait in line for him. And then he's going to go and just buy the things.
Well, I did that when I was a kid too. Nothing's changed, but no, it's like there is just this addictive quality to it all that I'm like, oh fuck, I am so in. And I'm. It was a couple days ago that it hit me that I'm like, this is a problem. Like, it's a real problem.
So this was after you had shown us your whole collection of stuff you had gotten for Extra.
Wait, did you open all of that?
No, I have not opened a single thing, not on camera.
Oh god,
because that's my thing. I'm like, well, we gotta make fucking content out of it. Duh. What otherwise? If we don't make content out of it, did it really happen? You know what I mean? No, but it's also, I want to share the thrill with Mike.
Never forget the Disney Plus reactions, you know?
Yeah, exactly. R.I.P. R.I.P. But the thing about it that I'm a little scared of is back in my day, 1998 to 2001, sets would come out every 8 months, it felt like. So you would have time to like, you're buying them, you're trading with your friends, you're collecting. So here I am. The 25th anniversary is what really got me kind of excited about this. I'm like, oh, they're reprinting a bunch of the cards I grew up with. Like, this is going to be super fun. Like, and it was. Opening them was exhilarating with Kevin and Mike on the Extra Life stream. And I am embarrassed to tell you guys. No, let me take that back. I am not embarrassed at all. I am stoked to tell you guys that in my off time, I have just been sitting here. I have my binders. I have my sleeves. I'm taking all my cards. I'm making spreadsheets. I'm looking at all this shit. I'm like, this is awesome. And it takes me back to being a little kid watching Survivor Season 2 while I'm reorganizing my fucking binders and shit. Like, it's the best thing ever. But this 25-year anniversary collection got me super excited. And then there was one set, Evolving Skies, that came out right before it, I think. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to kind of focus on that one. But the way they get you, Nick, the way they fucking get you, is you buy one of these boxes and you get like 8 packs of the set. But then you get 2 packs of random other sets. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want these random other sets.
I don't want that shit.
But now you have them.
But me not wanting the other sets eventually, Kev, you're right, turns into, now I have a bunch of these other set packs.
Now I can finish this.
Well, now I guess I got to collect those sets too. And like, I'm just like, this is bad. This is really bad. Yeah. But then the worst fucking thing happened, Mike. Do you know what I'm getting at right here?
You got a shiny Charizard.
That has come out.
A new set came out. A new fucking set.
Heavy dropping sets.
Yo, I'm like, it's November. I was like, Pokemon celebrations happen in October. I'm like, I'm good for the year. I'm going to be able to ride this year out and be totally fucking good. No, no. We got fucking Fusion Strike.
He has it in his hands. Oh my God. Fusion Strike.
So this is the ETB, baby. You got to love it. But Mike, that ain't it. That ain't it. What else do I got? Uh-oh. An entire fucking booster box.
He got the 36 pack, Nick. He's got the 36.
I'm a wild man. I'm a wild man and I'm scaring myself, everybody. But here's the deal. This is the story I want to tell real quick, because this is where I bring the embarrassment factor in. Okay. And I'm not sure exactly what I'm most embarrassed about. I'll let you be the judge, okay?
We'll sort that.
Earlier today, during my lunch break, I decide, which by the way, I was getting a lot of tweets. Hey, play Halo with the guys. Everyone wants you for Halo.
Yeah, that's not an accident.
I'm at Best Buy. I'm standing at a Best Buy picking up this goddamn thing because these fucking cards are so much of a commodity, a hot commodity right now. They won't even ship it to your house. You have to go pick it up from the Best Buy.
It might get stolen from your house, probably.
It's a whole damn thing.
People rob your the boxes.
It's so Pokemon I go.
The well, they're in a box. How would they know?
I don't know.
I go to pick up this pack, right? And I walk in. And if you guys haven't been in a Best Buy in your lives, there's a whole experience to the Best Buy, right? You walk in, and what's the first thing that happens? Somebody.
Security guard nods at you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. The security guard looks at you, usually makes some like fun little comment of like, hey, or like, what are you looking for today? Or like, just something, right? Of course that happens. This dude looks at me. He looks at my shirt. I'm wearing a t-shirt repping my favorite taqueria that I grew up near.
Gordo Taqueria for audio.
And he goes, Gordo's, hey! And I'm like, because like if somebody's stoked about that, of course I'm going to be stoked. About
yeah,
it, right?
Family at that like, point.
I used to grow up out there. I was like, I grew up out there. And we had this whole bonding moment. And he was just like, dude, have you ever had the pierogies like two doors down? I'm like, yes, I've had the fucking pierogies. So we're bonding. We're having this whole moment, right? So we finished talking. I go back and for as addicted as I am, I go to check if there's other cards I could buy.
Of course, you have to.
Why not?
You're going to have to, right? So I walk over. Nothing. Empty shelves. As if anybody that's been buying Pokemon cards in the last 2 years, I'm sure knows, these things are just fucking gone, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. I guess whatever. I'll go to the pickup. I go to the pickup. The dude gives me this. I look over and I see so many Pokemon cards. And I'm like, I got to ask. Are those for sale or are those for pickup? He's like, no, they're not for sale. People are picking them up. And I was like, you sure?
Tim just takes out $3 and he just slides it across the table. Like, what about now? Are they for sale now? He's like, yes, same answer.
Yes, same answer. So I start walking away and I'm holding this Pokemon Fusion Strike ETB that Mike and I will hopefully be opening on stream sometime soon. And I'm walking and the security guard looks at me and gets more excited than I've ever seen a human being.
Yes.
And he just goes, yo, I'm trying to get one of those. And I'm like, I fucking love it. And now this is the moment that changed everything. He looks at me at the front of Best Buy, mind you. All right. And he goes,
oh, no, I can get those for you. What did he say?
I want to be the very
No, you're making this up.
Like no one ever was.
You're making this up.
I'm looking at him. And guys, this is where I got embarrassed. This is where I got embarrassed. I didn't want to sing with him.
Oh,
I didn't want to sing with
him. You left him hanging?
You're a monster, Tim. But I'll tell you who's not a monster, ladies and gentlemen.
Not over.
Our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. It's cozy season and it's time to go all in on the coz, baby. This year, MeUndies wants to help you surround your family and friends with comfort. With new classic plaid and holiday sweater prints, MeUndies is turning up the comfort this holiday season. You know, I love their undies. Obviously, I'm wearing them right now. My entire body right now is actually covered in MeUndies and I would never have it any other way. And you get to match your whole family because they got a whole bunch of different things. They got these PJ sets. You can have some plush robes, some slippers, whatever you decide, everyone will be rolling into the new year comfy. It's available in sizes extra small through 4XL. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping right to your door. Your days of fighting for your life in the mall parking lot are over. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Next up, shout out to Uncommon Goods. The holidays are about more than friends and family. They're about winning the title of best gift giver ever, a title that Kevin Coelho vies for and mostly succeeds with every single year. And Uncommon Goods can help make you a Kevin Coelho and give you an edge on this year's competition. Gia has been using this to get a lot of her friends some stuff and family. They have some fun puzzles. They have these fun pint glasses that are based on different baseball fields out there. Really cool stuff. Uncommon Goods also offers uncommon experiences. You can choose from live online classes in mixology, cooking, flower arranging, embroidery, and more from hand-picked artists and experts. Plus, with every purchase you make, Uncommon Goods gives $1 to a non nonprofit partner of your choice. Really cool stuff. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/kindoffunny. That's uncommongoods.com/kindoffunny for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. And next up, shout out to stamps. We're all trying to save around the holidays, and that includes saving time because no one wants to spend theirs in line at the post office. Dodge all of that with stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you compare rates, print labels, and access exclusive discounts on UPS and UPS services all year long. Whether you're selling online, running an office, or side hustle, stamps.com can save you tons of money and stress, not to mention time over the holidays. Kind of funny, we have a ton of things to give away. We do physical giveaways all the time, and we have to ship them out. And thanks to stamps.com, it makes it a lot easier for Joey Noel and Cool Greg to stay sane and save a lot of their time and money. Plus, you can get discounts of up to 40% off USPS and 76% off UPS. Save time and money this holiday season with stamps.com. Sign up with promo code KINDOFUNNY for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code KINDOFUNNY.
Okay, we're back from that. I want to hear the rest of this. Sorry, we're getting a little long on that. I just need to put that in there. What do you got there, Tim? This is like a Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm moment. Like, now this guy hates you, right?
I was so embarrassed because I was like, I don't want to be part of this right now, but I also really do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You felt it.
Like, I really didn't. I was like, Gia's in the car. Like, I didn't even want her to have
but
to come
in with
me to
know.
See this whole
she
thing.
She would know.
He doesn't stop. He keeps going with the song, but he gets three lines. I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. And all of a sudden I hear someone else. To train them is my cause.
Now you got
to
be a part of it.
I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. All of a sudden, there's 20 people in this Best Buy fucking singing the Pokemon theme song. And I got, at that point, out of sheer beat-down embarrassment, I joined in, guys.
I had to do it.
But at this point, I felt so bad. I felt like I let this guy down, but then I was the outsider. Yeah. And that is how peer pressure changes things and twists on you. This is why Pokemon card addiction can be a problem. You might be in a Best Buy and be put in an awkward situation that ends up in a fucking full-on sing-along. And I will tell you that it hit a point that I went as long as possible. We were there. We were all having this moment that some of us were proud of. Some of us were a little questionable about. I don't know. Where did I end on it? Guys, I'm being honest with you. I don't know. I don't
still
know
processing.
If I was more proud or more embarrassed, but I was definitely feeling both at the moment. But when it got into verse 2 of the song, that's when I had to leave. That's when I had to leave.
This is a full
It got into the extended version. I'm like, I gotta go, guys. So that
funny.
Is my story.
It's funny because this is how different you and I are. I was not interested in anything up until the point where the entire Best Buy started singing. And then I was like, this is where I step up.
That's a beautiful moment.
And I knock one out of the park because I would have just sung. I'd have been there with all. I can come back, guys. I'm going to Starbucks. I'm coming back. You guys want anything? We're going to sing this thing again. Do you guys know all the lyrics to Jesus Christ Superstar?
If you guys wait 20 minutes, I'll come back with a giant Pikachu costume.
Oh, my God.
We'll fucking go to
that
town.
That is so funny. First off, shout out to Best Buy for always coming through with a unique experience.
Yes.
Always a unique experience. But my question for you is, like, is it just that it's the thought of finding something rare in the cards that keeps the addiction going? What is the value of the cards to you?
So that's the thing. It's an excellent question, Nick. And I've learned that the value of cards to me personally is that thrill. It is that experience of, like, I'm a collector at heart. And I think that Pokemon is the reason for that, right? You got to catch them all. They taught me that when I was young. Now they got me by the balls 20 years later. But even with the cards, there was always multiple goals. It was like, you want to get the rare card, but you also want to complete your collection, right? But then you also want to get duplicates of other rares to be able to trade with your friends to get the cards you don't have. So, like, it's a layered experience. And, like, I am kind of struggling here as an adult because it's not fun to just power your way with money into getting full sets. I mean, I'm sure some people have fun with that. But, like, just going to a card store.
Mike goes, oh.
But I mean, like, just if you were to just go to a store, like, I grew up going to Cards and Comics Central.
Right.
And looking, they have the glass cases and they have all the single cards laid out. And, like, you'll see, like, you know, the whatever, shiny Pidgeotto is like $8 or whatever. And you look at it. If you're trying to buy cards like that, singles, I'm all about. But if you're just going there and you're a rich motherfucker and you're just like, I'll take them all. It's like, You're losing all the fun.
That's not the fun.
The thrill of it, right? And if that's what you want to do, whatever, do you. But, like, that's not why I want to do it. I want to do it for the fun of, like, actually feeling like you're achieving something by opening plastic and looking at cardboard.
Yes, of course.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. There's anything wrong with that, by the way. I didn't mean to add it. I wasn't asking you that question at all to shame you or anything like that. Not that you thought I was. I'm curious, like, why people come to this, because I think that's a cool hobby. I don't really have a ton of hobbies like that. But when I see Mike do it, it's like watching a child experience joy for the first time. It's just amazing. And I don't even want to know how much money Mike spent on Pokemon cards. Mike, what do you think? You think you spent more money on Pokemon cards or chai lattes in your life?
He already says more.
It's up there. It's up there.
More. It's more.
Yeah, Pokemon cards, they get expensive on you quick, especially recently with the Pokemon card craze. Now a lot of retailers are kind of yakking up the price just a little bit, you know? I spent a pretty penny on Pokemon cards. But every single moment opening them was truly a thrill and a lot of fun. And I think it's one of those, like Tim says, like, I'm looking for the cards that I love. I want to see the original 152. I love those original Pokemon cards and those Pokemon themselves. Mm. And like, that's what gets me going. It's like seeing one and it's like, oh, look at this new art. Look at this new way they drew this character that I grew up with way back in the day. I love that, you know, that's what I want.
And it doesn't doesn't devalue them to take them out of the bag.
So if you were really smart, of these boxes,
what Tim does,
and he would shove them in a closet and then never look at them again for 40 years. And then somehow they would just be exponentially in price if Pokemon's still hot. But that's what you're supposed to
do. Yeah, that's the problem. It might not
be. It's the Beanie Baby thing.
Yeah.
No, it'll be back, and it will be again.
Didn't it come back? It was gone for a while, and it came back, right?
It is absolutely. I mean, look, when I was 9 years old, I convinced my dad to buy the upcoming box. And at this point, it was too late. Like, I was a dumb kid, but we had missed the craze of it's like, oh, my God, every single thing, whatever, is worth so much. So we got the fourth set of Pokemon cards, Team Rocket. We got a box of first edition Team Rocket, Mike. Yeah, like, holy goddamn hell. Yes. Like, nowadays, that would be worth
If you shoved that in the closet, money. Nick, and, like, it was wrapped, Tim would have a nice, pretty – he would go on a gigantic trip around the world.
Wow, that's crazy.
Insane amount of money. But instead – I was a kid. I convinced my dad to let me open them all. But, like, you know what I mean?
How do you know what you have unless you open them?
Well,
but the clothes.
That's what makes
ones,
it valuable is you don't know what's in there, Nick. That's what makes it valuable. Yeah, now you want it because I got it. It's right.
Fuck, this is crazy. See,
It could have.
I can't.
You're buying
I cannot
the potential.
Allow myself to indulge in these activities because. So, a lot of, I mean, you guys know this because you've hung out with me for the last like 10 years, but like, I turn a corner on stuff where most of the time I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't care about anything. I make fun of stuff mostly because I just don't understand how most of this shit works in the world. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, I go deep on shit and I get super obsessed with things. And I feel like Pokemon cards could be like, or not maybe not Pokemon cards because I'm not into Pokemon, but something like card collecting could be that for me. And I would waste hours on poorly programmed forums trying to figure out like what the valuable shit is and what's not valuable and what, you know, man, I don't know. It sounds fun, but it also sounds like scary dangerous for me.
You know, Nick, that's what it is. Honestly, it is that like kind of like looking up the value and like all that stuff. Cause like, again, the point I was trying to make earlier about like, I'm not just trying to buy a complete set and be done with it. I'm also not just trying to buy these boxes and hold on to them to make money. It's like, I want the collection. I want the act of collecting them all. And then I want to have them in a protected thing. Maybe one day they're valuable and worth something, and that'll be really exciting, and that'll be a fun story in the future. But, like, that's not the point for me. It is the point for a lot of other people. I know a lot of people that have made a lot of money just off Pokemon cards, and I'm like, you're living your best life, and I'm very, very proud of you.
Yeah, but that's the thing. There are those people, and you're like, I appreciate that, but that's a different – you're chasing a different thing at that point. If you're trying to buy cards for value, that's a different – it's like baseball cards, right, where, like – That is a thing that people do, and it's I'm not disrespecting it at all, but that puts you in like, that's like a business at that point, and that's a different level of obsession, like loss and gain, the ups and downs of that can be a lot like harder, I think.
Yeah,
it's not
and that,
fun, I don't think.
That's a whole other thing. There is a thrill to it for sure. I don't know if fun's the right word, but there's that thrill, the roller coaster high of it, right? But like with Mike, like I don't know how you are with this stuff, but for me, I want the full collection of different sets. So I'm trying to commit to these sets. And a big reason for that for me is like the fun of it is completing it. And I don't just want it to be the super rare expensive cards that make me excited. If I'm missing a fucking Weedle, I want to be excited when I get that Weedle. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to think of like an overlay for our streams that have like the list of cards that I'm missing. So that like, even if I'm pulling an uncommon or common that I'm missing, it's like exciting. Cause that's the point, right? It's like chasing the excitement and that thrill of getting the cards that you're missing and like what? Flipping through them binders and shit, man.
What a weird.
Tim?
Go ahead, Mike.
Tim Geddes, let me introduce you to a kind of funny best friend. And I think the live chat will know. Our good friend Bone Jangles, a very close friend of mine, has an incredible Twitch stream, Tim, that he has created where he has his chase cards that rotate on the screen. He has a full list of every card that's in the collection that he needs or wants, and he takes his Twitch streams to the next level with Pokemon.
I'm looking this up,
you,
dude.
And Bone Jangles is the kid that you want to talk to. Jangles. He's the man.
Yo, so here's the thing. I know we're going long in this Pokemon card talk. But I'm sorry, guys. I am addicted, and this will not be the last you hear.
I think it's great. This is, I think it's fascinating. Because I mean,
it's great, but it's good. You're having fun.
Yeah, I'm having so much.
I love it.
But I'm sure you do love it, Mike. We're not to enable each other to hell. This is so bad.
You too. I'm gonna find you guys out behind the studio. Fucking doing Pokemon cards together. I don't know what the hell you guys
doing
do. It's
Pokemon
gonna get
cards.
As long as it's
like a suit teacher Mike. In 1999.
Joey, they're gonna be like this. I'm like, we gotta just open one more pack. Let's go open a pack, bro. Let's go out behind the studio, open one pack together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that is the danger of it though, Nick. It's like when I was a little kid, it'd be me and Cool Greg and Curran with one booster pack each for the week, because we had was $3, and you open it up and that was thrilling. Now I'm sitting here with a fucking 36 pack box. And it's like, this goddamn thing is going to bring me happiness for 10 minutes. You know what
How
I mean?
How much does that pack cost, if you don't mind me asking?
I ended up getting this for $100, which is
that's a very good deal. That's an outrageous price. Yeah, that's awesome.
This is what's so crazy to me, right, about the world, is that these cards, like so many other things that are commodities, have no inherent value other than what people place upon them, right?
I mean, but and like, so isn't it?
Well, but like, it's not like, so like water, for instance, right? That's a resource that's
sure,
like,
but like
that's fixed. And so that's what, but it's like everything else. But yeah, you're right, Kevin. You're not wrong. But what I'm saying is it's so fascinating that Nintendo, that they're the owners of Pokemon, correct?
Technically, no.
Okay.
But whoever
owns the Pokemon company, right? Which I'm sure is Ricky Nintendo over there.
Yep.
Is just, Ricky they've started Nintendo. They've started this thing that just has no, like, the value of each one of these cards, if you were just basing it off of the amount of ink and cardboard that went into it, it would be a fraction of a penny, right? But these things are selling for $100 a pack or more. And it probably cost them, what do you think, Kev, to make that whole package, including the cellophane that went on the cards? Couple bucks?
No idea. Yeah, not
five
much.
Bucks maybe?
Not much.
$10 if you count shipping them over to the Best Buy. It's just weird to me how people get into stuff and they inflate these markets, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, to your point, Nick, obviously I'm in, so there's no getting out. So even though you're right, if this is wrong, I don't want to be right.
But someone in the live chat was bringing up NFTs, and I think that's sort of like, that's a natural progression of what we're talking about, right? So, but instead of having a physical good, you've got a digital good, and it's just so, it's crazy to me as a person who doesn't really indulge in like collecting or trading or any of this stuff. It's cool to see, but it's also kind of scary.
But isn't it also kind of like gambling, where like you're not necessarily playing to like, because you think you're going to win this crazy amount of money? You're playing as the activity. And I feel like that's what Pokemon cards are.
No.
That's
right.
That's not why people get addicted to gambling.
Well, yeah, well, but
yeah,
like, but
that's the, yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Joe. Yeah, I get what you're saying, Joe. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, well, so look, there's a couple things here. Like with Pokemon, a lot of people actually play the card game. Like there is a card game.
No,
I am
not
one of those people.
No, there's a good, strong contingent of people that play the card game, for sure.
No, and the reality is, all the collectors and the people getting into it now, myself included, are fucking those people. And, like, that does really, really suck. Because, they just want to play the fucking game, and, like, we're all out here just, like, collecting. Although, I stand by the fact that, like, I'm trying to collect. I don't think that that's a problem. I think that that's okay.
Yeah,
it's the people that are, like,
them.
Trying to fucking resell and be, like, assholes about it. Like, they're two at a point. And, again, let them do their thing. But... or they can do their thing, in my opinion. But yeah, Nick, it's interesting. But like, for me, I have been holding off on doing this forever. I've always wanted to. If it was up to me, I would have never stopped buying Pokemon cards. But like the reality is I did, and I never got back into it. And now I'm only getting back into it because everyone else is doing it, and that has risen the value. And that kind of gives it stakes that make it fun. So that's where the gambling comes in.
Of course.
It's not even gambling to like make money. It's just the gamble of like, everyone wants this thing, so I want it too.
Yeah, that is 100%. A psychological effect that happens to a lot of people. That's why a lot of these companies create these artificial demands for them. Unfortunately, I don't think they're creating. I mean, obviously, the Pokemon company is not doing that. People are actually creating the demand out of sheer just wanting it, and that's probably going to drive up the scarcity of it. But that process right there is the thing that I'm like, I don't want to deal with this at all because the hunt is fun, but it's stressful, man. It's stressful, Like what you said about wanting to go and trying to get the other things, I don't like seeing empty shelves. That immediately triggers this insecurity in me that's like, I fucking have, now I have to have this thing. But I told the story the other day when I went to the Nike store, when I tried on the Air Force Ones, and I was like, nah, this is just too much. It's too much soul for me. But I was like, maybe I should try on some Jordans. And I asked the woman that worked there, I was like, hey, do you guys have any Jordan Ones on the show floor? And she didn't laugh. She was actually very nice. But for the sake of comedy, she was like, This guy thinks he can walk in here and just try on some Jordan 1s.
But like,
and I immediately was like, I fucking have to have a pair of these now. I don't even know what, I don't even know if I want them or like them. I have to have a pair of them.
And Nick, that's my thing to your point of like, it is just a bunch of fucking cardboard and nonsense and stuff. Like, I've tried to limit myself collecting things for collecting sake. Cause like, I know myself and I have that quality to me where like, I love that. And I have found myself trying to find what are the things that I actually want to collect that truly bring me happiness and truly like make me feel like that give me that thrill of the hunt for them. Cause like going to the different stores, like looking online, getting the deals, all that stuff. And that's why Blu-ray physical media works for me. Cause I'm actually buying something that is the best way to consume media that I love. I know that I'm getting these things. So I know that I'm collecting something that has some value. That's not just getting the thing, you know?
Absolutely.
But, and Jordans to an extent are that too, because you actually get to wear Jordans. People buy Jordans and don't wear them, and that's totally fine.
There's people that buy like Xbox Adidas, like two pairs, and they just keep one pair on the shelf and they wear the other pair.
Yeah.
I would wear it if I had a second pair.
No, I want everyone to know that I'm not judging you if you keep shit mints. Like I love that, like that is for you. These shoes up here are all shoes that I wear. When I wear them, I just take one off here and I put it on. These all have a pair that are just in my normal shoe closet.
Do you want to know how crazy I am though, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
I look at those shoes sometimes and I think, Tim needs to swap them. Like, so they're going one direction. You need to switch them around and then you need to trade them out every 6 months with the other pair because the sun will dye that leather.
There's no sun. Color.
There's no sun.
That's a basement. It's all there's blacked out. There.
There's light,
I blocked
though.
It out, bro.
No.
LED,
but
there's
no UV light. There's no UV in it.
No, it's all blocked.
UV lights?
Well, I don't know what in. Well, I don't. This is a Kevin question. What in light causes discoloration in leather?
Different types of UV. I think.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, but like
this, I would have to look. I would have to look have into to get, this before I put that LED light like, on there because I'd be like, I don't know what frequency would dye that.
I don't
that
think
would be nuts if they were like, different colors in the other.
If you're growing plants indoor, like aquaponic.
We don't want to put Mike on the spot here.
We don't want to talk about growing plants indoors in the closet.
You need a special light bulb.
Hydroponic, I think.
Hydro. Right? You're right. You're right.
Yes, that's it.
Mm-hmm. You need a special light bulb.
Yeah, you need one that has UV, right? Because it has to have like.
Yeah. So I don't think that would work for dying.
Omega-3 in the chat says UV is what caused the issue. Okay, cool. Tim, I think you're in the clear. Because I don't think LEDs don't emit that
No. So and even if they did, like I wear these frequently.
But there's no light coming through the other side of those windows, right?
No, I like the white that you see.
Yeah,
is like a blackout. Solid. It's a blackout.
Okay, good.
Sticker,
screen plastic
screen thing.
Good. Because that would piss
vinyl.
Me.
I think is the word I'm looking for.
Vinyl.
Because every once in a while, like when you look at, if you ever look at, it's a fascinating thing. If you ever look at your couch. Because when we moved, we bought a new couch.
Oh, yeah.
And when we pulled it out, you could look at the back of the couch and like, oh, fuck, this is like five shades darker than the front. It's a gradient effect from how the sun, because the sun fucks everything up, man. Mm-hmm. Powerful.
So I always be careful. If you got a closet and you have sunlight coming in like through a window, we had a big issue with that once with Paula.
Closet.
I have a question.
Why?
Go ahead.
What?
Oh, go ahead. It has nothing to do with closets. What do you guys do with all of the cards that like you like your duplicates and all of the stuff?
Joey,
paper airplanes.
Don't ask
little tiny paper airplanes.
I want to know the answer to.
I want to know the answer to this too. Because you gotta have at this point thousands of cards in your apartment just stacked up in a closet somewhere, right?
Well,
they're all Weddles or whatever the fuck that thing was.
Weedles. You can kind of see a little bit down there, but like this whole area right now, the chairs are blocking them, but there's like a pyramid I've made.
Yes, a bunch yes. of boxes and shit. And I have that exact same period in the corner of my room.
Yeah, I'm in the stage of organization right now where I'm trying to figure out the best way to like keep it clean and like figure out the bullshit I can throw away and then throw it away as fast as possible and then get things organized. But I am trying to come up with a system where my main set is in these ETB boxes. Where, Mike, I'm going extra crazy, where I'm trying to double sleeve each card with the penny sleeves. And then on top of that, the top loader.
He's going really hard on these cards.
why would you do need that much?
It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do.
Because, Kevin, like, to the point of all this, I'm collecting these to collect them for now.
Yeah.
But if I have these full sets and one day, cool, I got the full fusion strike. I have all the cards perfectly contained in this. One day, this thing might be worth a fucking $1 million. You know what I mean? That's not the goal. That's not the point. No, but like, if I'm gonna do this,
for sure,
you do it right. So that's where I'm at right now. Is so I'm trying to like figure out.
Are you supposed to double sleeve and then put the top loader on?
Standard.
Better it is.
How many cards in one set?
Every set
depends
different.
It depends.
Yeah.
Well, give me a rough. What did the last one
have? What's the range?
So normal sets, I would say, are about 250 ish.
Oh my god.
The celebration set only has 50.
Yeah, very limited.
So like it does. There is a range, but
it's a big range.
So how it works with this double sleeving situation? All right. So penny sleeves are just the normal sleeves that you expect, right? The tiny, the little cheapo plastic, right? But there's ones that are perfect. Yeah, like that Mike's holding. Yeah. But there's ones that are called perfect fit sleeves that you get on there. So what you do is you take the perfect fit sleeve, you put it on upside down to the card. So the bottom is what's exposed.
It's like putting
there's no exposed edge.
Oh, wow.
Then you take the penny sleeve, you put that on the normal way. And then you take that, you put it in the hard plastic top loader. And then your card is completely immune to the elements.
Okay.
Don't they sell cards that have Ziplocs in them so you get the error?
I mean, what I'm doing is essentially the card way of doing that.
Yeah, smart. Yeah, I used to do that with my comic book. So
that's way of doing that, Nick.
Yeah, I used to do the comic book in a sleeve, taped, and then I'd flip it over and stuff it in the cardboard sleeve and then tape the other side of it.
Oh.
And then I'd be like, these Robotech comics that were made in 2002 are going to be worth something one day, and they were worth nothing.
God, you were like 22.
Well, I didn't have any money to collect when I was a kid. So when I hit 20, like one, I was like, I need to get into this. And I was like, I don't need to get into this. I don't want to be on forums and shit like that, trying to figure out where all these things are, hunting down stuff. It's just too much. It's too much, ladies and gentlemen. This has been your kind of funny podcast for this week. This was a good one. Good educational podcast, as we'll call it. Here's what I think the title should this be. Tim teaches Nick about stuff. I think people will click on that. ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't know, of course, this is the Kind of Funny Podcast. We do it every week. Sometimes we have fun guests. Next week, we have Andrew McLean coming on, and we're going to talk to him a little bit. He is blowing the hell up on TikTok, and he looks like Chris Hemsworth. So I'm jealous about him on a lot of fronts, but he's going to be a great guest. And, of course, next week is Thanksgiving. So I think we got a podcast dropping next week, though, so that's going to be fun. If you are a Patreon member, stay tuned for our Patreon-only post show happening right now.